Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. We'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us on the old gospel bus tonight as we get rolling out here tonight out of the depot?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We got you and me.
Well, all right. Well, since it's just you and me, what kind of prayer requests you got?
I'll pray for Emily and pray for you and me. We have our issues, but we're not real sick, but I'm going to be going through a procedure on Friday next week and start my physical therapy at the Y. So just pray for all that, because sometimes I have some pain, but, you know, hey, in life you do have pain. But I just want to praise the Lord that I'm still able to navigate and do my business. And so I just praise the Lord and also pray for lost souls.
And as George would say, pray for our military, pray for those first responders, pray for our government, they get right with God. Pray for lost souls. Pray for every listener out there that they be touched by the words and the message tonight. Pray for, of course, as Six would say, your listeners, my listeners, our fans, your fans, our family, your family. Pray for the Success Radio Network. Pray for each and every person listening. Pray for those in nursing homes, hospitals, and, of course, those who work there, first responders, and of course, each individual listening in their respective places and the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right. And so with that, we're going to get into our show tonight. We got some great gospel music for you, of course, to praise the Lord with, give a good hoedown. Then, of course, tonight we got a great message for you, another from the archives of the Holiness Bibles for the Blind Ministry. And you can find a copy of that, of course, by going to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, clicking sermons, then fearless teachings. And tonight, as I remember, this one is on, I forget the title, but you'll be able to find that right under fearless teachings. I do believe, if I remember right, Confronting the New Age. I had to think of the title. Confronting the New Age. So you'll find that under Fearless Teaching, Confronting the New Age. So you'll find out about that. And then after that, we have, of course, Emily, the song and poem. Does she continue the good role, the bad role? How does she do tonight? And then, of course, we have Sister Ruth with us tonight, giving us her next Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight?
Well, tonight we are going to, does the world begin with Adam?
Huh? I think you got the wrong one.
I got, did the world begin with Adam in Bible prophecy for the state?
Okay, well then, okay, yeah, that's right, that's right, okay.
Well, so, that's that controversial subject. There may be some that don't agree with it, but hey, they can hear what the Bible says.
Yeah, did the world begin with Adam? Well, actually, a lot of people will be asking that question. A lot of people think that the world began with Adam. Well, he was the first human, but was he the first being, notice the word I say, the first being, was he the first being that was on this planet, or was he not? That's the question. So did the world begin with Adam is a good question. We'll find out tonight. And then, of course, we'll end with an open mic session for anybody that's got any questions or comments. Once again, you'll be able to call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one at that point, and we will open your mic and let you ask your questions, give your comments, or any of those good things. And I know we'll have a lot of comments with that subject. Did the world begin with Adam? Amen. All right, so let's get into the show tonight. Amen.
thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that is changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that is changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave.
So
Jesus.
lost and all alone. My heart in need of help. I found eternal life and lost my fear of death. Because I know the author of my every breath. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. God of glory, majesty, the Holy One who died for me, to the one I long to see. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus.
Yeah. Almighty God, your Redeemer, the one who made you and formed you from the womb. I am the maker and creator of all things. I alone stretched out the heavens. By myself, I made the earth and everything in it.
Hear the little heartbeat.
Should I kill it?
See the forming image.
Kill it.
What are you afraid of?
Kill it.
Can you drown the memories?
Yeah, kill it. Get rid of it.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips. F-E-E-L. Letter N as Nancy. Touch like you do with your fingertips. T-O-U-C-H. King like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown. K-I-N-G at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week, by calling 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh praise his name. Took me as I was, oh praise his name.
Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
With AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Psalm, and it is 12 and verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6.
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times.
And you notice, the Bible says of itself, the words of the Lord, they're pure words. How pure? Not just they were just put there, but as if they had been purified like silver, tried and true in a furnace, not just once, not twice, not three times, but seven times, the number of completion. So God's word is true. So these guys that try to tell you, well, this word in the Bible should be better translated like this. Excuse me, pal. God put it in there exactly the way he meant it to be. And he said, every jot and every tittle. That means every comma and every period is exactly where God meant it to be. So don't be messing with God's pure words. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Psalm 12 and verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6. Amen.
Change from a $100 bill. were tears in the waitress' eyes when she read what she wrote. You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. That night when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady's note had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered soft and low, everything's gonna be alright. I love you, Joe.
During the Vietnam conflict, a bunch of soldiers had been on a long hike. They arrived in a town called Saigon. And the next day, being Sunday, several of the boys went to church. After the chaplain read the prayer, the text was taken up. Those of the boys who had prayer books took them out. But one boy had only a deck of cards, so he spread them out. The sergeant in charge of the boys saw the cards and said, "Soldier, put away those cards." And after the service was over, the soldier was taken prisoner and brought before the provost marshal. The marshal said, "Sergeant, why have you brought this man here?" "For playing cards in church, sir." "And what have you to say for yourself, son?" "Much, sir," the soldier replied. The marshal said, "I hope so, for if not, I shall punish you severely." "You see, sir, I've been on the march for 6 days, and I had neither Bible nor prayer book. But I hope to satisfy you, sir, with the purity of my intentions. You see, sir, when I look at the ace, it reminds me there is but one God. And when I see the deuce, it reminds me that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testaments. And when I see the tray, I think of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I see the four, I think of the four evangelists who preached the gospel. They were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when I see the five, it reminds me of the five wise virgins who trimmed their lamps. There was 10 of them. Five were wise and were saved. Five were foolish and were shut out. And when I see the six, it reminds me that in 6 days God made this great heaven and earth. And when I see the seven, it reminds me that on the seventh day God rested. And when I see the eight, I think of the eight righteous persons God saved when he destroyed this earth. There was Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives. And when I see the nine, I think of the lepers our Savior cleansed. And nine of the ten didn't even thank him. And when I see the king, it reminds me once again, there is but one king of heaven, God Almighty. And when I see the queen, I think of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is queen of heaven. And the jack or knave is the devil. And when I count the number of spots on a deck of cards, I find 365, the number of days in a year. There are 52 cards, the number of weeks in a year. There are 13 tricks, the number of weeks in a quarter. There are 4 suits, the number of weeks in a month. There's 12 picture cards, the number of months in a year. So you see, sir, my deck of cards served me as a Bible, almanac, and prayer book. And friends, this story is true because my son was that soldier.
Yeah.
He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on this earth to hang there on that cross, burned to die so we could live. He had the birthday we got to give.
My flesh lies at
their feet. I'll soar northward to that place, to streets of gold paved with grace. There with the saints I'll safely sing. The ills of life were such minor things. So let it come, oh, come what will. The ills of life will not prevail. So let it come, oh, come what will. The ills of life did not prevail. These words were written by Brother Bill West.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's H-O-L-Y. NessBiblesFortheBlind.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471 Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471 Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Tim's Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Brother coming to you with the Hebrew word of week four. This weekend, the Hebrew word of the week is Tzidkenu. Our righteousness is in the Lord. Our righteousness, we looked last week at Yehovah, which is Jehovah, spelled Y-E-H. O, V is in Victor, A is in Adam, H. And now this week we're looking at Tzidkenu, our righteousness, as in the Lord our righteousness. Again, the verse, Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. There's the word righteous there. And a king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu. And again, our righteousness, Tsidkenu. P-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. That's P-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. Is in the Lord our righteousness, and secures our righteousness. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, declares that we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. Then our iniquities, like the wind, have taken off the way. You must have, Jehovah said, the Lord is your righteousness. For you and of yourself have, those that can do no righteousness of your own.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Place called Kwajalein, and just like me, he was fighting in the army against Imperial Japan. Our home was a foxhole made of clay, blood, and sand.
The last foxhole, oh, the last foxhole. Oh, Lord, let it be the last foxhole.
Soon the war was over, and we went our separate ways. He went home to Brooklyn, but in the army I chose to stay. Now he often wrote me letters and told me about his fears. When his son became a man, would he have to live in another foxhole?
The last foxhole.
Then came Korea, and they sent my company. And that same Brooklyn boy right back with me. But I left him there in a grave deep and cold. They just covered him up in his last foxhole.
The last foxhole.
There's a boy from Brooklyn behind the gun. They couldn't send his daddy, so they sent his son.
Away. And when I've said
everything left to say. I know only sorrow awaits me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Some things that words cannot say. I guess I always knew I couldn't satisfy you if I went every mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I've said everything left to say. I know only sorrow awaits me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Yes, I've gone the last mile of the way.
If it wasn't for the light. in this world took their baby with them. What a sad little girl. Her daddy drank all day and mommy did drugs. Never wanted to play or give kisses and hugs. She'd watch the TV and sit there on the couch while her mom fell asleep and her daddy went out. And the drinking and the fighting just got worse every night.
Much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend, but remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral? It was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guess I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are here. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
Today we will turn our attention to one of the false religious systems which is competing for the souls of modern men. Our focus is the New Age movement. Joining us is Dr. F. Lagarde Smith. Dr. Smith has written a response to perhaps the most popular of the Western world's New Age prophets, actress Shirley MacLaine. Ms. MacLaine, of course, has written a book entitled Out on a Limb, which was also made into a television miniseries. And LaGard Smith's book asks the question, is Shirley MacLaine right, or is she out on a broken limb?
LaGard, it's good to have you with us once again.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy.
How much of the New Age's popularity can we attribute to the work of Shirley MacLaine?
Well, if we take it in the context that the groundwork was laid during the 60s, during the drug culture and the hippie movement, the flower power and freedom for virtually any kind of activity that you want, and the whole human potential movement that came in with such programs as EST and LifeSpring. Once you see it in that context, you have to realize that the foundation had been laid, but the one who really sparked the interest in the 80s was Shirley MacLaine. She is the Pied Piper of today's New Age generation.
How many people believe in reincarnation and other New Age teachings today?
Numbers are not available simply because of the fact that the New Age movement is not like a normal religion or church where you can count the people that show up in a pew. There are no church buildings. There are no real meeting houses along the way. Indications that you get come from interesting sources. One is your local bookstore, such as a B. Dalton or a Walden bookstore. You walk in and you see now a New Age book section that is larger and more prominently displayed than the old traditional religion section. You start to see government programs and business programs where CEOs and others are being asked to go to seminars that, in effect, are New Age seminars. So it's permeating through government. It's permeating through business. You start to see, even in certain public schools, that children are being encouraged to engage in yoga, relaxation therapy, and so forth. You drive down the street. You see signs for psychics in a way that it's not like your palm reader that you used to pass. I mean, we're talking about established psychic people who are posing as channelers, clairvoyants, and so forth. You see New Age bookstores almost everywhere now. It started off in California, of course, but it swept across the nation. And the New Age bookstores come very close to being the churches for the New Age movement. In the back room, they often set up with quartz crystals and triangles that you set under, pyramid arrangements you set under for extra power and so forth. So taking all the indicia together, you're seeing a sweeping captivation of this belief system by the American public. I would venture to say that, though it's still far in the minority, we are on the way to seeing a two-track society religiously, no longer a Christian nation as we've always come to accept it, but a two-track nation where it's both Christianity and paganism.
It was C.S. Lewis many years ago who said that the battle for the souls of mankind would come down to Hinduism, or a form of Hinduism which absorbs all other religions, and Christianity, which excludes all other beliefs.
Yeah, and that's really what's happening, is that even in the New Age movement, which draws heavily upon Hinduism, but is also radically different from it, it is absorbing Christianity. There are people who are saying, I am a Christian, yet I believe in reincarnation. I am a Christian, yet I believe that I am God. And when you get that kind of generic smorgasbord, custom-made, tailor-fitted religion, then, as you indicate, every religion is subsumed under the heading of New Age.
In her book, Out on a Limb, Shirley MacLaine uses Christ, the Bible, and even Christianity to support her beliefs. Obviously, she twists and misinterprets Scripture to accomplish her goals. Demonstrate for our audience some of the errors that she makes, won't you?
Well, her spiritual mentors, various people who were supplying her information in her early quest for understanding of these mystic truths, kept telling her that there were scriptures which would support New Age belief, among which I think the most classic is when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And they play on that through their reincarnational philosophy to say, and again, and again, and again, as if Jesus was supporting reincarnation. The idea of being born again into a different lifetime. One that plays well into the hands of the you are God message is the idea that Jesus said, have you not heard it said that you are gods? And of course he's referring back to Psalm there, where the Psalms are referring to the judges of Israel doing God's work on his behalf. But even in that context, they are accusing him of blasphemy for saying that he is really God. And he is saying, yes, I am, but you are not, in effect. And they realize that, and that's why they persecute him. One of the other favorite passages they throw out is where Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was the Elijah who was to come, the idea being that, well, Jesus must be saying that Elijah was reincarnated in the body and personality of John. Even when John was asked that question, he said, no, I am not. And when Jesus referred to it, the disciples had just seen on the Mount of Ascension Elijah, and they would have known, obviously, it was not their contemporary John. One of the passages you will never get through the New Age movement is Hebrews 9:27, where the writer says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that to face judgment. For all the scriptures that they give us, that's the one that they ignore, probably because they don't want to face judgment, and certainly they don't want to give up their idea of reincarnation.
McLean also goes so far as to say that Jesus was a great yogi, not a savior. What is she saying in that statement?
What she's doing is reflecting on a number of books that are out on the New Age bookshelves that are saying that we have never been told about the 18 missing years of Jesus' life, that he, of course, in the Bible, we leave him at the age of 12 and don't see him again in Scripture until he is 30 years old when he starts his ministry. So in those 18 missing years, rumor has it that he had taken a camel merchant train over to India and become a Hindu yogi. There are rumors extant even to today about Jesus having been a Hindu yogi and so forth. And that's not really surprising because a man of his reputation in Palestine during his day, you can well imagine that the news would have spread far and wide around the world about him, and people would have taken the picture that they've gotten of him and incorporated it into their own religion in the same way that New Age is incorporating him into their religion today. So that's not surprising. But what we're being told is that the miracles that Jesus performed were simply a matter of mind over matter that he had learned to be able to accomplish as a Hindu yogi. Of course, the problem there is that no Hindu yogi would even try walking on water, raising someone from the dead after several days, or any of the other miracles that Jesus performed. Certainly, it's not something that a human being can do. He was drawing on his strength as the person of God, and that's the only way he was able to do that. So he is a unique figure, despite all the efforts to make him on the same par and same level as Buddha, Krishna, and other Hindu yogis.
Another important New Age belief is that there is no such thing as good or evil. How does this fit into their thinking?
Well, it's central to it, actually, and here's how they get to it. I went to one of Shirley MacLaine's, as she called it, Getting in Touch with Your Higher Self seminars, and she surprised me, even knowing what I had read from her. She surprised me when she looked out at her audience very calmly, and twisting of Psalm 180 degrees, she said, "Be still and know that you are God." And I thought, boy, that's shocking. And I thought that was the bottom line. But she knows that logically the extension of that is, and she went ahead and said it, therefore, your truth is as valid as my truth is as valid as your truth. And, of course, that's another interesting bottom line, but that was not the end of it. The next statement out of her mouth was, and therefore, there is no right, there is no wrong. You see, if we're all gods, then whatever we do is right, it's truth. You know, we sometimes get mad at someone who's done something outrageous, and we say, who do you think you are, God? As if they had the license to do that. Well, the New Age answer is, clearly, yes, I am God, so I can do whatever I want to do. There's another way of approaching it, and that is through the whole concept, which is a little more theological or philosophical, the whole concept of monism. Monism meaning, as in monotone, all is one. The trees are one, the skies are one, you and I are one, God is one, therefore we are God. And if everything is one, then you blur the distinction between such opposites as dark and light, hot and cold, and then even good and evil. And still another reinforcement of that idea is that if we choose our own reality, which they say we do, then everyone is choosing what is best for him, and therefore nothing can be either right or wrong. The question is raised, well, what about the people who died in the Holocaust? Was there nothing wrong about that? And the answer that comes back is, no, they chose that experience. And since they chose that experience, for whatever reasons, then that's a good thing. Or at least it's not a bad thing. So there is absolutely no distinction between right and wrong. And once you throw rationality out the window, as they do, you don't appeal to any objectively viewable standard. It's just intuitive. In the 60s, if it feels good, do it. In the 80s and in the New Age movement, the cry is, if it feels good, believe it.
Lagarde, New Age followers use so-called out-of-body experiences to support their belief in reincarnation. Tell us about this aspect of New Age thought.
Well, what they're really trying to do when they say that we can have out-of-body experiences, or as they sometimes call them, astral projections, they're trying to establish that we have a spirit apart from the material body that we live in. And, of course, we Christians have believed that we have a soul all along. They're trying to discover something that we could have told them about through Scripture. And what they're saying is that if we, in fact, can have auras, which you can sort of see something besides the physical body, when you look into a person, into their eyes for a long enough time, the peripheral vision tends to create a kind of aura around them, and a sort of a sunburst around the head sometimes when the light is just right. And so people are saying, ooh, look, there's something to me besides the physical package, that there's a soul, a spirit, a person inside. And again, we've always known this. And so when you can have people who tell stories about near-death experiences where they say they're on the operating table, they look down on themselves, see the doctors operating, and see the light and so forth, they're saying that's another form of the out-of-body experience. Sometimes that they meditate themselves into thinking that they are outside of their bodies, that they take trips sort of looking around the world and anchored only by sort of the silver cord by which they're tethered to their body and they return. I have to tell you one just an incredibly funny letter that I've gotten in response to Out on a Broken Limb. I've been receiving letters from an inmate in a federal prison for some time who reads my books and then comments on them. And he said, Professor Smith, just tell all the people out there that you talk to that if there could be such a thing as out-of-body experiences, we prisoners would have them. And I thought his point was well made, that if in fact they could really happen, then we could do all sorts of things that we obviously cannot do.
One of the biggest embarrassments to those who want to believe in reincarnation is India. Tell us why New Age followers don't want to talk about India very much.
India is a problem for the New Age movement because as much as they like to point it to be a showcase of wonderful mystical thought and enlightenment, India has been the site of Hinduism and Buddhism for centuries. And if, in fact, Hinduism and Buddhism are the way to enlightenment and the way to bring about social renewal, then why hasn't it worked in India? Far from being a showcase of cultural growth and awareness and enlightenment, it has been a dismal fleshpot of suffering and poverty and discrimination. Westerners say, let's believe in reincarnation. Isn't it exciting? Isn't it going to bring us to the brink of human awareness and divinity? And yet those who are in India have never seen reincarnation as a great benefactor. They've seen it as a curse. In fact, the whole religion of Buddhism comes out of the awareness of Buddha that, in fact, there was this horrible cycle of life, suffering, death, life, suffering, and death. And he wanted to get off what he called the infernal wheel of reincarnation and tried to devise a method whereby that could be done. So it's just odd that upper middle class, materially affluent Americans would go back to believe in a system that has both been a curse to the people of India and a belief system that they are trying to get away from, not to encourage us to come toward.
How do reincarnationists account for the fact that the great majority of people never claim to remember anything from a past life?
Well, the immediate answer is that there's a veil of forgetfulness, quote-unquote, that comes over us. And they say such interesting things as, listen, we can't even remember what we did when we were 1 or 2 years old. So why should it be so dramatic a difference that we can't remember what happened in prior lifetimes? And, of course, they capitalize really on this idea by being capitalists. They come in and they say, I will tell you for a fee who you were in prior lifetimes, either as a channeler or as someone who is a hypnotic therapist that supposedly takes you back into prior lifetimes. So for the price of a session with your local channeler, you're supposed to be able to get in touch with who you were. Naturally, that is simply a fraud. It's something that they make up in their imagination. What you want, you will get. I went to Shirley MacLaine's own psychic, Kevin Ryerson, undercover, so they wouldn't know who I was or what I was up to. And I said, I've been reading a lot about Shirley MacLaine lately, and she's just sort of always on my mind. Is it possible that the reason is that we've had a prior lifetime together? And immediately, the entity that supposedly was coming through him says, oh yes, in the 13th century in China, you were a Taoist scholar and she was a shadow puppeteer. You worked together to bring the message to the people. Well, I mean, you get what you pay for. And interestingly enough, they know that you want your money's worth, so you're never sort of an unknown fisherman on the banks of the Zambezi River. You're always a countess or a prince or some famous soldier or general, so that everyone feels important, like you have great pedigree.
Oh, my. How much did it cost to find out that you were a 13th century Taoist scholar working with puppeteer Shirley MacLaine?
Well, I went to a group session. I think the fee for the group session was $75, and then I had a one-on-one session, which was $150. One of the interesting things that happened between the two of those sessions is, at the group session, I gave him an actual dream that I had about Shirley MacLaine and myself while I was working on the book. And so I got a very nebulous fortune cookie kind of a interpretation at the group session to that dream. 4 months later, I gambled that he would not remember me from the earlier session, and I gave him the exact same dream in detail and got a wildly different interpretation.
Well, that seems to confirm that many of our so-called prophets of the New Age are merely profiting from the spiritual foolishness of our time. Before we run out of time, Lagarde, let's go over the many problems inherent in a belief in reincarnation.
Well, the first and biggest point that should be made is that in truth we cannot remember our past lives. And if we cannot, then it's not doing us any good from a spiritual standpoint. How can we grow and develop, which is supposedly the purpose of reincarnation, if we can't even remember who we were? For example, when I asked Kevin Ryerson what my bad karma was, he said I didn't have any. I think he was shocked that anyone even asked about bad karma. We're into it for the fun and games, but if in fact we're supposed to be growing from it, we ought to be able to know what our bad karma is and what our previous lifetimes were. Secondly, we all have to learn to tie our shoelaces over again. If we've had many, many lifetimes, we should have learned more things in the past than we have learned. But we all start off from scratch as children to relearn all the things that children must learn. And of course, from a biblical standpoint, we clearly are told that we don't have to live many lifetimes in order to reach perfection. In fact, we know we couldn't do that in any event. God says to Christians, if you will place your faith and your trust in me, commit yourselves to me, and be under my lordship, then when you die, in one lifetime, I will deem you to be perfect. You don't have to do it on your own bootstraps because you couldn't do it anyway, but I will deem you to be perfect in one lifetime through my grace. But grace is something that New Agers are not wanting to latch on to for fear that recognizes that we have sins that need to be forgiven, for fear that recognizes there's a judgment ahead, for fear that there is a hell for those who are disobedient to God. As much enticement as you think grace ought to be to a person, they would rather give it away because they want to be in control, be God themselves, and face no judgment for their actions.
How can Christians best prepare to answer and reach out to people who are caught up in the New Age movement?
Well, the first thing that has to be done is that we have to become acquainted with what the New Age movement is all about. For a while it was mysterious, but there are now not only my book, but there are dozens of books written by conscientious Christians who have studied the New Age movement. You need to go out and get some of those books and familiarize yourself with what is being said. It is so radically different. It is not a case in which we're arguing the Bible with people who already believe the Bible, and we're just trying to fine-tune what the Christian doctrine is. We're going to have to become familiar with Hinduism and Buddhism, religions we're not familiar with ideas of karma and transmigration and reincarnation that we are just simply not familiar with. So reading up on that, and once again, living the life of a Christian so that people who are struggling for values will see Christ in us and want to ask us about the faith that's within us.
Well, Lagarde, we're out of time, but I thank you for your help in discussing the New Age movement, and I think that many people will find the information that we cover today very useful.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Dr. F. Lagarde Smith has been Dr. Kennedy's guest. Dr. Smith's book is Out on a Broken Limb, and he has another book on the New Age entitled Crystal Lies, which should be out any day now. Dr. Kennedy, Dr. Smith said that in order to reach out to New Age followers, we should study the New Age, including Hinduism and Buddhism. And I know that other people recommend we study only the Bible so that we can identify false teaching when we come across it. What would be your recommendation?
Well, I think there's something that can be said for the fact that every kind of cult and occult heresy attacks Christianity and the basic tenets of Christianity. So I think the first thing we need to do is understand the basic fundamentals of the Christian faith, which have to do with the existence of God and his separateness from his creation, that God and the universe are not one and the same, that pantheism is false. We need to understand the Trinity and the deity of Christ, the nature of body and spirit, the meaning of the resurrection and salvation by grace through faith. And these things we need to get a clear grasp on from the scriptures. I think after that, we can perhaps understand people who are into various false cults or views of one sort or another, philosophies, by understanding the basic errors that are out there, which deal with such things as pantheism, which is what Hinduism or Buddhism is, and what the New Age is. And we need to understand the falseness of that. The great Princeton theologian Charles Hodge of the last century said that pantheism is the very worst form of religion that has ever existed. Because when you say that all is God, as we've seen today, you obliterate any distinction between good and evil. There can be no evil because everything is God. And if it's God, it obviously is good, and therefore evil cannot exist. This is the kind of thing that you would hear in the basic syllogism of Christian Science, which is sort of a westernized form of Buddhism, which is all is God, God is good, all is good. And if all is good, then evil does not exist, and evil becomes good, and this breaks down the basic distinction between good and evil, which certainly is taught by Christ and the scriptures, and therefore anything goes if there is no evil. So it is something that people ought to have some grasp of, and this is what is being revived now in another form in the New Age, and it is a dangerous heresy that needs to be understood and combated.
This is Bob Allen for James Kennedy. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Truths That Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Opinions expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Coral Ridge Ministries, Dr. D. James Kennedy, or this station.
Now it is time for Sister Emily to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Oh, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. He followed her to school each day. 'Twasn't even in the rule. He made the children laugh and play to have a lamb at school. And then the rules all changed one day. Illegal it became to bring the Lamb of God to school or even speak his name. Every day got worse and worse, and days turned into years. Instead of hearing children laugh, we heard gunshots and tears. What must we do to stop the crime that's in our schools today? Let the Lamb come back to school and teach our kids to pray.
All right, Emily. Now that you've heard that song and poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
I believe the song and poem, the message between the two, is saying that if you're not saved, you need to pray and get it right before God, before your time.
And are you 100% sure that's your final answer?
Yep.
Well, Emily, you were 8 for 9, but now you're 8 for 10. You did not get that one correct, because what we were looking for was both of them had in common. It was about Mary's little lamb, which was Jesus Christ. I thought that was pretty obvious. Because it's both talking about Mary's little lamb. Or, even though you were close talking about salvation, it wasn't close enough. We were talking about Mary's little lamb, Jesus. So, you are 8 for 9. Okay.
Well, instead of blowing him up or shooting him or anything, I guess I could shut on him and let one rip.
Well, I guess you could, but we'll just be nice, right?
Nope. I'm going to blow him up instead of sitting on him and letting it rip. Because we ain't got that sound effect, so I can't do that one. No grace. Just means 6 is going to have to go buy a new one again.
Yeah, man. All right. So we'll just have to go on with the program, and 6, you just have to find another buzzer. Yeah, man. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Revelation for yourself. Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flaming star comes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore.
Lesson is, did the world begin with Adam? My reason for having this lesson on this subject is that our young people go to college and universities of our nation. Many of them are being led astray spiritually through the teaching of the theory of evolution by certain clever, cunning professors. I advocate that before going to college, our young people be given a complete biblical explanation concerning the early books of the Bible, in order they might have a thorough understanding of the creation of this earth and its many satellites. Nobody living today can intellectually tell us how old the earth really is. I've read many comments by scientists, and possibly you have two, who say this earth is billions upon billions of years old. Well, may I hasten to say there is no actual way of knowing the age of the earth. We know from the tables of genealogy found in the Bible that approximately 6,000 years have passed from Adam up to the present time. The Bible tells us in a very definite and clear manner that there was a habitation on this earth before God ever placed Mr. Adam here. That may sound rather shocking to some of you, but in this lesson, we will get the scriptural answers to this question. If you're a person who does not have a closed mind, then I believe you will get tremendous knowledge and understanding of the overall problem of God in the world today. First of all, let me say there were two great floods which
engulfed the whole earth at two different times. First flood occurred before Adam. Second time was in Noah's day. Before the first great flood, the Bible tells us there were cities, birds, flowers, fruit. This much the Bible states very clearly and plainly. Leaves nothing for our imagination. Let us read five verses of scripture found in the Old Testament, written approximately 600 years before the first coming of Christ. Scripture, I behold the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I behold, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I behold, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. Jeremiah 4:23-27 in the King James Version. These few verses of Scripture tell us that there was a time upon the earth when it was without form and void, and there was no light. The mountains trembled, and the hills moved lightly. There was no man, and all the birds of the heavens fled away. The fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities were broken down in the presence of the Lord. The very outset of this particular lesson, I will make a statement, which I support with Scripture later on. The verses we just read refer to a time element before God ever placed Adam upon the earth, because it was very plainly said here. There was no man. In other words, with all of this happened, as recorded in Jeremiah 4:23-27, there was no man upon the earth. There was darkness, there was mountains and hills, but the cities were destroyed. The fruitful places were desolate, and the birds had disappeared. That's why I say, if our loving people who have graduated from high school and go to college and university could have a complete and general understanding of early portions of the scriptures regarding the creation of this earth, when they come up against the atheistic, non-believing professors who try to push over on them the theory of evolution, they could tell those children of the devil exactly what the Word of God says, and they could shut the mouth of those unbelievers. You see, the theory of evolution is completely wrong. In substance, it teaches that a zygote begat a trilobite, the trilobite begat a polywog, the polywog begat a tadpole, the tadpole begat a fish, the fish begat a reptile, and the reptile begat a quadruped. Then the quadruped begat a baboon, and the scientists tell us that the baboon begat something that got lost. They try to tell us that the thing which got lost begat you. I don't believe any such foolishness. Because this theory of evolution is founded upon a hypothesis, which is simply another name for a guess, I refuse to accept it when it comes to a guess. One person's guess is just as good and unreliable as another. Anyone who teaches the theory of evolution would be called by the right name, a professor of guessing. Along comes a person who says to me, well, if we don't teach the theory of evolution, what explanation do we have for the archaeological discoveries, the cities, the imprint of leaves and skeletons of fish found embedded on slabs of coal, and the skeletons of strange animals which were digging up to the bowels of the earth? What explanation can you give us, Sister Ruth, so we cannot need to teach evolution? Is this any reliable and puncture-proof evidence that we can give our young people? The answer is a great big yes. The Bible is the fountainhead of all truth, and true science never disagrees with the Bible. Therefore, as we dig into the message, we're going to receive much now and new, fresh information which will make our Bibles come alive as our hearts and in our thinking. Nothing living today can intellectually tell us what the age of the earth really is. We know that about 6,000 years have passed from Adam to the present time, according to the tables of genealogy found in the Bible. The Bible tells us there was a habitation of beings on the earth before Adam. We know this is true because we read in Genesis. Here's the scripture. And the Lord was, the earth was without form and void. Genesis 1:2, King James Version. May I endeavor to clarify your thinking regarding the book of Genesis? Between Genesis 1:11 and Genesis 1:2, there is an element of time, the length of which nobody knows, but it's absolutely necessary for us to know that in the beginning, whenever that was, God revealed and created this earth. If we didn't know that, we would lose our minds and become patients in mental institutions. For instance, look at the suit of clothes your husband or your sweetheart is wearing. Where did he get that suit of clothes? He got it from the tailor, and the tailor got the cloth from the manufacturer. The manufacturer got the wool from Boston or London or Australia. The wood merchant originally bought the wool from the sheep farmer. He got the wool from his sheep. When did he sleep get it? They ate grass, and the grass produced wool on their backs. The grass which the sheep ate came up out of the ground. Now get hold of a chair and hold on real tight. Where did the ground come from? If you didn't have the answer to this quadrant, you would lose your mind. The Bible, which God's means of communication with all his people today, tells us in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1 in your KJV. See, the Bible is not an explanation. Bible is a revelation. The Bible reveals us to us only those things which were to know in order that we might be saved. There are only words to tell us where the stars came from because of none of our business, how God made them and brought them into being. All he does is tell us that there are stars and he made them. The Bible says he made the stars also. Genesis 1:16. It's really all that's necessary for us to know above the stars. The Bible is like a railway guide. There's nothing in it, a railroad guide, to tell us how many children the conductor has and doesn't tell us what kind of fuel the engine holds. That's none of the business of the railway passengers. The railway guide will tell the passenger whether or not they're on a Pullman car or a particular train or a barbershop. In a diner, how many hours the trip will take, the stores, and whenever the train will eventually arrive at its destination. It reveals everything in a necessary for the travels to know. In order to get them from one point to another, all a person has to do is buy his ticket, board the train, sit in the car or seat provided for him, keep his mouth shut, breathe through his nose, keep his ears open when his station is called and get off when he has arrived at his destination. It's exactly what the Bible does. It reveals everything that's necessary for the pilgrim to know in order that he might make a safe journey into the earth to heaven. Therefore, I ask you the question, is it necessary for us to know about David's flood? The answer to that question is yes. That explains to us why cities, skeletons, strange animal bones, seashells, and fish bones are being found in deep coal mines today. The Bible tells us it was not only the rain which caused Noah's flood. Here's a scripture. The same day were all the foundations of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Genesis 7:10, King James Version. Or, 7:11, I'm sorry. From a Greek translation, that part of that verse reads this way. On that very day, the fountains of the great abyss were all broken open and the windows of heaven were opened. The rushing of waters, both up and down, washed things which were on the earth at that time into the lower regions of the earth. God evidently did not want some of the prehistoric animals incorporated into this world system. After Noah came out of the ark. So he had those animals which he did not desire on the earth after Noah's flood left out of the ark so they would be destroyed at the same time of the flood in Noah's day. Thus the strange species of animals together with human beings in which cities were washed into the lower parts of the earth, and many of them having been preserved unto this day by natural preserving power of the particular soil or earth into which they were cast. But Noah's flood does not explain how all that is necessary for us now. The Bible tells us that 1,650 years before Noah's day, the earth was well out form and void. This means to say that the earth was a ruin and an emptiness. It further tells us the same verse. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. In that time, in the same verse, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Because the deep, inky black darkness upon this whole world seen at that time, there was cover by water. God was prompted to call for the dry land to appear. You see, there was no dry land at that time. So God, in another creative act, had to bring forth dry land. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis 1:9. So as we look at Genesis 1:2, we see the world was without form, which means it was ruined, and we see it was void, which means it was emptiness. May I ask you a question? What caused the earth to be ruined? What caused the earth to be emptied? What caused the earth to be completely dark everywhere? What caused the earth to be covered with a foot of water before Mr. Adam? Let's answer these matters in the light of God's word. The Bible tells us that their Christ is God and God is Christ, but it was no Christ in particular. Who created everything in the world today? For scripture, in the beginning, please note, we're back to the place again. In the beginning was the word of Christ, and the word was with God, the Father, and the word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:1-3, KJV. Bible tells us it's the same time thing in another book of the New Testament. Let's establish the fact from scripture that everything created in the world today was brought in through Jesus Christ. We're referring to Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Christ, were all things created that use heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:15-16, KJV. The reason I called your attention to these two portions of scripture is to emphasize this one point. Jesus Christ is perfect. Therefore, says God, and Jesus is perfect, there's a law in operation which tells us like produces like perfect Christ in the beginning created perfect earth. However, we come to Genesis 1:2, we read, the earth was without form, meaning a ruin and void, beginning it was empty. In order to recreate a ruin, a thing would have to be created perfect first before it would be ruined. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say to you. Let me say it again. The ruin is not created. A thing is created perfect by the God Israel and then later is amazed or ruined. Perfect Christ would not create an imperfect earth. In the beginning, when the earth was originally created by Christ, it was remained perfect. That's what the Bible says and means in Genesis 1:1. When it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, now the big question comes to our minds, who ruined the earth? The Bible tells us plainly that God or Jesus Christ did not ruin the earth. Let us read a scripture, please, together. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain, inhabited. Isaiah 54:18. When we look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, we see very clearly who ruined the earth. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, and made the world as a wilderness, a ruin and a void. Isaiah 14:12-17. We've told in the version of Scripture here, that Lucifer was the especially anointed cherub who beloved over the throne of God. The Bible says he was the wisest of all angels and the most beautiful. He was the most outstanding musician in heaven. In other words, there was especially treated angels who that was tempted all the talents and the beauties of an angelic being. But sin, plain old sin, S-I-N, came into his heart, though his desire to exalt himself, because he saw by comparison with the other angels that he was the most beautiful, the greatest musician, and the wisest of all the heavenly angels. The Bible says his heart was exalted, and he corrupted his wisdom by reason of his frightness. And he told the other angels in heaven they would have a throne of his own. Now here's the scripture. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will establish my throne above the stars of God. Isaiah 14:13, KJV. In the exacting of Lucifer's throne up in heaven, a great rebellion took place, at which time one-third of the angels of heaven were cast out, and they were bound in chains of darkness in the lower regions of the earth, awaiting a special judgment day for them. Scripture, and the angels which kept not their first estate up in heaven with Lucifer, but left their own habitation, God hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness the judgment of this great day. Jude 6:6. Therefore, when Israel endeavored to exalt the throne above the throne of God in heaven, he, the anointed angel which hovered over the throne of God, was cast out of heaven and set down to the earth. Jesus Christ himself says he saw him fall from heaven. Scripture, and he, Jesus Christ, said unto them, I beheld Satan, formerly Lucifer, was lightning fall from heaven. Luke 10:18, KJV. Up in heaven, the name of the anointed angel was Lucifer, but when he was cast down to the earth, his name was changed to Satan. Up in heaven, this name meant son of the morning. For when he was cast out of heaven, he was given the same meaning, son of darkness or destruction. A person's name changes as his spiritual plane is elevated or lowered. Those of us who are born again Christians today were originally children of the devil, but now we're not, and we're children of God. A person goes up and down according to his spiritual barometer. After he, Satan, was cast out of heaven, he began his deception and the destructive work among the inhabitants who were in the earth before Adam. Okay, we're not told, not even given the slightest hint, just what kind of beings they were and what they looked like, just as he was not told to do. What we were born-again Christians will look like what we populate, the new earth, spoken of in Revelation 21:1. There's not a hint anywhere in the Bible as to what we will be like on the new earth, KJV. Scripture, behold now, we are sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. 1 John 3:2, KJV. Of course, we know that the resurrection at the time of the translation of Jesus Christ were in to be as angels. This is brought out in Matthew 22:29-30. Okay, but getting back to our thought, we have no scripture to tell us what the beings on the earth before Adam looked like. We are told that Satan's deceitful and destructive work among those beings caused God to destroy them with a flood and wrap the earth in darkness at that time. Described in these verses of scripture. Accent, and okay. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's Genesis 1:2. Scripture, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and their thickness was a swaddling band for it. That's the earth, Job 38:9. The thick darkness which God had to place around the earth, and he had yielded to sin before Adam, because of the satanic and deceptive work of Satan, eventually be around, as we are told in the book of Revelation. And all the heaven departed, and as a scroll, when it's rolled together. Revelation 6:14, KJV. So take place immediately before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth to begin this. thousand-year reign. This swaddling band of darkness, which God has to place around the earth before Adam, was placed there for two reasons. Satan had fought to make this world his kingdom, and inhabitants of the earth before Adam and would garnish or naturally have been the subjects of it would have been required to worship him, born out in Isaiah 14:12-14, but God destroyed those inhabitants and gave their spirits over to become demons. This is no hell at that time that for them to go to, so their bodies were destroyed and their spine, their spirits became the demons of Satan. The lost angels are not the demons. They are lost angels awaiting the judgment day, Jude 6. Due to the fact that God would use the spirits of time and the inhabitants on the earth before Adam to test the new population would be he'd bring in an earth through Adam, God then wrapped the earth in a swaddling band of darkness, sent his son Jesus Christ after putting enmity between him and Satan down to this world to bring the world back to God. The significant number of people who would be saved by grace and not by sight, to make the place of those inhabitants living on the earth before Adam. Therefore, toward the end of this, and God placed the darkness around the earth so that now goodness and badness and soundly make their choice. They have to live by faith. They cannot live by sight. The second reason God wrapped the earth in a temporary swaddling band of darkness after the reestablishment of the people soldier, or before, yeah, Adam was led astray by Satan, is because the people through sin must be saved by faith and not by sight. If there has been no swaddling band of darkness placed around the earth, people could have looked up into heaven and been saved by sight. What I'm trying to say is that if the original sin through Satan had not customized the original inhabitants, they would have been able to just tilt their heads back and look up into heaven, and they would have been able to see what was going on in heaven as well as its inhabitants. This is clearly borne out in the fact that during the tribulation period, when the swaddling band of darkness is event, is really rolled together as a scroll, the people at that time will be able to look up into heaven, and the Bible says they will see Jesus Christ sitting up there on the throne, and they will be inclined so much that they run into the dens and hide in their rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Scripture, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man hid themselves in their dens and their rocks of the mountains. He said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide from the face of him that sat on his horse and from the wrath of the Lamb. Because the great day of his Lord is come. Revelation 6:15-17. This darkness is not natural. God has to create it. Scripture, God formed the light and create darkness. That's Psalms 45:7. Bible tells us that at that time God took the waters, which he had flooded the earth before Adam, in order to destroy the things being left on the earth, and break up for it, meaning the waters, my decreed place, and set our doors. Okay, and afterward, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and he shall be poked waves. He stayed and stayed. As we can very closely see that they do not begin with this. There was a habitation on the earth before Adam. I mean, this is a true but familiar passage, just scripture, but we'll take time to look at just a few of them. Scripture, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 9:1, King James Version. We can very lightly understand how God would tell Noah 1,600 years before Adam to replenish the earth, the reason being that God had sent a flood of water on the earth and the inhabitants of the earth at that time, with the exceptions of 8 people, had been destroyed in Noah's flood. However, when you turn to an earlier chapter in the book, Genesis, you find God telling Adam the very same thing. Scripture, and God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replace the earth. Genesis 1, 28, KJV. In these two new verses of Scripture, we find God telling Noah's replenish the earth, and we find him falling, Abram, advocacy, or Adam to do the same thing. One assumes the prognatic conclusion that Adam was the first inhabitant of this earth said, then Genesis 1, where God had told Adam to replenish the earth, cannot intelligently explained. For the light of war, what we have studied and learned so far in this lesson, we know there was a habitat of beings on the earth before Adam who were led astray by Satan, at which some time God sent a flood of waters and great turmoil upon the earth. In fact, the Bible says that Jeremiah, in his writings, in the fourth chapter of the book, was looking at the earth as it was Genesis 1, 2, before the first day of creation, after Adam, God made light, for we hear Jeremiah saying, Scripture, I tell you, hold the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Being was a ruin and an emptiness, and the harvest of heaven, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they rumbled, and all hills moved lightly. Jeremiah 4, 26 and 24. In other words, Jeremiah was holding the earthquake, which God set in motion in order that particular time when he destroyed the bodies of the residents of the earth before Adam. That's why Jeremiah says, I behold the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Jeremiah was observing an earthquake. The earthquake which Jeremiah saw was a time by which God break up for the zeal they decreed place and set doors, bars and doors. That's Job 38:10. All this time took this place before the first day in which God sends light. Then Jeremiah says, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, being the garden or the place of lush vegetation, had become a desolate place, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. Jeremiah 4:26. All this took place because of the sin of the sexless inhabitants who were on the earth before Adam. The inhabitants were destroyed by God in the first flood, the same before Noah's flood, which was the second one. Then please note carefully what Jeremiah says. For thus hath the Lord, and the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. That's Jeremiah 7, 27. And exactly what happened, because we read in Isaiah that the Lord happened. What happened? Because we read in Isaiah, okay, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turn it upside down and scatter abroad the neighbors' inhabitants thereof. That's Isaiah 24, 1. After all this happened, with general chaos following a great earthquake, earth being wrapped in a swaddling band of darkness, God said he would not make a full end. Jeremiah 4:27. We had this thing fulfilled in the book of Genesis, and the God let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis 1:26, Scripture, and the Lord said unto for man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the meaning of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. We see that here God was taken and did not make a full end, and his original creation, which he had created in Genesis 1:1, whereby he said, out of the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. When chaos struck the original earth, which Christ, being perfect, had created perfect, it was ruined, and after it had been void and empty for a time, which no human being eats, certain today, we find that God had picking up a handful of dirt. The Bible says it was the dust of the ground, forming an atom and breathing into his nostrils of a breath of life. Adam and embracing into his mouth the breach of Mr. and Mrs. Adam, because the first man, but not the first being. He reasons that God took dust from the earth to form the body of Adam is that God never adds or subtracts from his original creation. When God completes a matter, he's refreshed in our time and reality. So out of the mere handful of the segment dust of his earth, God put back upon the earth the beginning of a population of people to eventually inhabit this new earth and make the place of those beings who were in the able in the earth before Adam. You see, when our young people who go to universities and colleges today who understand this wonderful and contained in the Bible, God's Word, come face to face with the agnostics and unbelieving professors who teach evolution and try to discredit the Bible, they can stand up to them with the knowledge of saved and revised in God's Word. The mile, or the Bible, is the fundamental of all truth. The Bible has the apostles and answer to all questions and the solution to all problems of life, so as science, and let's read it. Okay, the next lesson is, are we negative or positive?
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe.
And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week, and you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click Enter. You'll see us pop up there, then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week, and you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address. 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, Ruth, who do we got here on the Six Eyes Gospel bus as we pull into the depot?
Well, we still got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, which aren't we glad they're still there? And we have you and me.
Well, with that, since obviously there ain't going to be no questions or anything like that, we are going to turn it over to you to give a closing prayer and remind everybody to join us tomorrow night, 9 p.m., for the truth of the matter here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 9 p.m. Eastern here with Dr. Doug Quick at 9 p.m. Amen.
Well, Lord, we come to you again in prayer about all these different prayer requests. Got Tim out there in Tel Aviv, Israel, last I knew that's where exactly he's at. He's looking for a better hostel, he said, because it didn't look good what was going on in the building where he's at. So he's trying to find something a little more peaceful. Be with Emily and her mom. Be with Kenny and I. We're trying to do this ministry for you, Lord, and I believe we're getting ready for your rapture of the church, sweetheart. And won't be too much longer. We'll be up there with you. So well, that's going to be fun. So, yeah, we that kind of flight we don't have to pay for. Yeah, we go up together. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, there's that wonderful scripture. First Thessalonians 4:16-18. So just want to praise and bless your name tonight. And all the people out there that listened, I hope they enjoyed. And we missed some of the crew tonight, but they're probably just doing something busy somewhere. Hope they're not sick. And we just want to praise your name, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Amen. God bless.